The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And it's a combination of music and theater that we're going to pay attention to on today's show in particular. It's Nuncrackers, the Nonsense Christmas Musical being put on by Parkland College Theater. The show opens this weekend and continues for the following weekend as well. There are a number of performances. And we have a couple of members of the cast with us on the show, playing the Reverend Mother, LaDonna Wilson, and playing Sister Amnesia, Cecily Ree or Ray. I'll find out how she says her name in a little bit, as well as Tim Shermer, who's music director for the production. They're going to be doing a couple of tunes live in our studio. So I hope you'll stay with us for some nonsense here on Live and Local today. Kevin Hart's combo playing Every Little Bump in the Road and Two Winter Days from his disc called The Road to Everywhere. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And our segment on the show next is for Nuncrackers, the Nonsense Christmas Musical happening at Parkland College Theater. I think it's the third of the Nonsense musicals that they've done. We'll clarify that with our guests in a little while. Here is a song called Nonsense is Habit Forming. It comes from the original Nonsense musical, original London cast. That comes from the original Nonsense musical, the original London cast. Nonsense is Habit Forming, and it apparently is for Parkland College Theater. They're going to be giving the Nuncrackers musical, the Nonsense Christmas musical, starting tonight, as a matter of fact, December 1st, 3rd, 4th, 9th, 10th, and 11th at 7:30, and December 11th and 12th at 3 o'clock at Parkland College Theater in Champaign. And we have with us the music director for the show, Tim Shermer. And also we have the Reverend Mother herself and also Sister Amnesia, Cecily Ree. And thank you. Oh, and the Reverend Mother is played by LaDonna Wilson. Thank you. Thank you all for coming in and doing this today.
Thanks for having us, Ken.
Tim, have you been involved in all the Nonsense musicals?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I think the last time we did one, I said I probably wouldn't be doing any more in my tenure, but they never say never.
That didn't take long, did it?
No, didn't.
No, that was just last year.
Just last year.
Nonsense 2. And am I remembering it right? This is the third of the Nonsense
This
musicals?
Is the fourth,
oh,
I think.
Oh, it is the fourth.
Not the third for us at Parkland, but it's the fourth in sequence.
Amnesia has the...
She has a...
Her own show is a jamboree that's a country musical.
Oh, really?
That
wow.
We haven't done yet.
She really rates, huh?
Mm-hmm. They actually all get their own eventually. I think the one that follows this one is either Meshuggah Nuns or is it Robert Ann's?
I think it's Robert Ann's. Yes.
Robert Ann has a Broadway kind of review or a cabaret review, mm-hmm. and then that's followed, I think, by Meshuggah Nuns, mm-hmm. which is where the nuns are on a cruise ship and the cast of Fiddler gets sick. They have to come in and substitute for them.
So. The nuns do the Jewish play.
inhabit or another
inhabit
another kinds of thing.
Yes.
You know, I was looking up the term for your garb, and I knew that habit was some part of it, and I guess the habit is sort of the bottom.
Mm-hmm, then the tabard. And
yeah. So what are all these terms? What are all the pieces?
They're medieval. The dress comes generally from the medieval cloisters and the religious orders so that what women looked like in the Middle Ages in Western Europe, at least, the wimple is the thing that goes around their face, and then the veil, and then this is sometimes called a cowl, or and then some of the habits have different parts that others don't, so that they have a tabard, the long sheet like you would see a page or a knight in a tabard.
That's the thing where the Reverend Mother often stands with her hands behind. Mm-hmm. What are you actually tucking your hands in?
Well, we do have a belt too.
Oh, you have
a belt. So there's a belt on the inside. So, but usually in prayer form underneath. So it's a pious position.
No. I was raised in Catholic schools, and that's not what they're doing. There's stuff in there. I know that there's pockets.
I have a cell phone in mine and my clicker.
She's just trying not to give away any secrets. You know,
so. Oh, I see. That's right, because you'll be pulling rabbits out of there during the show. What about you, LaDonna, and Cecily? How many of these shows have you been in? I know it's the second because I saw
done
Nonsense too.
I've done Nonsense 5 times, but I've done all of them at Parkland. So the first time that we did Nonsense 1, I played Sister Hubert.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. And then when we did Nonsense 2, we actually found a real Hubert. So then I moved into the position of Reverend Mother. I went from number 2 to number 1. And so now I'm playing Reverend Mother again.
This is only my second time. Last year was my first.
Yeah. And why are all these people have male names?
Although, Oprah had this big special on last week. It's mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Where the nuns were getting married to Christ.
Aren't you supposed to be in school when Oprah's on?
No, it was 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
I had to think. No. So, but she had this thing on with the nuns, and almost all of them had male names as well. So it was really interesting that Paul and Mary Paul was a name that came up several times.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They did. I had 2 different orders when I was growing up in grade school, and the orders tended to sort of gravitate toward either more male names or fewer male names, in my personal experience anyway. But so we had lots of Sister Julians, Sister Julias, Sister Flavia instead of Flavius, but there was also one Sister Robertus. So, you know, but in my experience, the Notre Dame nuns were all tended toward the female names. But in this case, the Sisters of what are you again? Little Sisters of Hoboken?
Yeah. Yes. The Little Sisters of Hoboken, New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. Why don't we hear a song from, what are we going to hear? A couple, three?
Two
songs.
Two.
One each?
Yes.
Right.
One each. Who gets to go first?
That would be me.
That would be Sister Amnesia. How did you get your name?
I got Sister Amnesia because a crucifix in the first Nonsense, a crucifix fell on my head. And I got amnesia from it. And so ever since,
nobody knew her name for the entire show.
Yeah.
Until the end of the show when she gets hit on the head again and she suddenly remembers who she is.
Yes.
And then wins the Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Yes.
So
did you ever find out what your name was?
Sister Mary Paul.
Oh, it is Mary Paul.
Yes.
Right.
And yet you're still called
Sister
Amnesia.
They still call me Amnesia.
And we have to explain that to the audience because she only really answers to amnesia. So. Mm. So it is her given name.
Yeah, I forget my given name. So, yeah, they just call me Amnesia because it's easier to for
Fair
me.
Fair enough. All right. What are we gonna hear from you, and what's the context in which it comes?
Well, we're going to hear Santa Ain't Coming to Our House. It's about me and my brother Will when we were little kids.
Explain.
And, okay, can I go to that one?
She's got intro that'll explain.
Oh, you have it? Oh, great. Okay, fine. Well, then, there we go.
You know, ever since I started recording country music, I've been blessed. Well, actually, I was blessed before that when I won the Publisher's Clearinghouse Sweepstakes. But really, that was only really a partial blessing since I didn't get to keep any of the money. It's like when your grandma gives you a savings bond for Christmas and you're supposed to be really excited, but you're not because you can't spend it on anything. Get him a puppy or something. But anyway, singing country music has been a whole blessing just for me. Like the time I got to sing at the Grand Ole Opry with Little Jimmy Dickens and Lulu Roman. You know, after that, people started calling and asking me to sing their songs. But River Mother just won't let me sing anything. She nixed, "I got you on my conscience, but at least you're off my back." I guess she took it personally. But anyway, that doesn't matter, because I got a brand new hit of my own. It's about me and my brother, Will. It was written by my friend Holly John Davenport. You know her? She's the beauty queen who's planning on being a brain surgeon so she can cut all the dirty thoughts out of people's minds. I think she might be onto something. Let's hit it! When Will and I were little kids back home in Arkansas, every year at Christmas time, Dad laid down the law. If we didn't do our chores and promise to obey, on December 24th, there would be a price to pay. See, Dad explained that Santa Claus had a giant list saying who should be rewarded and who should be dismissed. If Will and I were fighting, we'd stop right away, 'cause Dad would set us down, and this is what he'd say.
Christmas Eve, Santa ain't coming to our house. No way he's gonna leave any Barbie dolls or brand new toys for bad little girls and bad little boys. Santa ain't coming to our house on this Christmas Eve.
Dad told me he had a line direct to Santa's shop, and he said he'd call if I acted up and wouldn't stop. In May or June, I might be rude and never be contrite, but starting in November, I'd always be polite. Now every year at Christmas time, I'd mind my P's and Q's, 'cause even in the convent, I don't wanna hear bad news. And now you know the reason I'm angelic and so dear. If I start acting devilish, I know I'm gonna hear.
Santa ain't coming to our house on this Christmas Eve. Santa ain't coming to our house. No way he's gonna leave any Barbie dolls or brand new toys for bad little girls and bad little boys. Santa ain't coming to our house on this Christmas Eve.
And there you have it, Santa Ain't Coming to Our House. From Nuncrackers, the Nonsense Christmas Musical, which opens tonight at Parkland Theater in Champaign, and we heard Cecily Ray in the role of Sister Amnesia. How is it that these nuns get to be singing nuns?
Well, the first time Sister Julia, child of God, makes some vichyssoise soup and 52 sisters die, and they have enough money to bury all but four, so they put on a benefit show to raise money to bury the last four dead sisters. And that first show is so successful that they do another show just for fun. And that's at the time when we bring in Amnesia, and the Franciscans, who believe that Amnesia is one of theirs, wants the money back. So the second one's kind of about that. This Nuncrackers is just a Christmas celebration. There's no real, you know, dire emergency other than it's their first TV show. Ooh. They have a public access television show in the basement of the convent. And so they're spreading goodwill and cheer about the Christmas season and Catholicism.
Is there any story that underlies this one, or it's really just a string of songs?
Well, Amnesia, once again, in her nice heart, why don't you explain what you did, child?
Well, I was just trying to spread the cheer for Christmas, and I gave some presents away.
But we think they're stolen, so it's trying to figure out who has stolen things from the convent.
Yes. And how does Father Virgil Manly Trot show up?
That's a good question.
Or should we not be asking that?
Well,
that give things
Father Virgil is Sister Leo's brother, so that's kind of how he kind of becomes involved with the
And he
production.
Runs his own, he has his own country western radio show, right?
Right.
Yes.
And so he's an announcer, and that's how he's met Amnesia, so it's kind of a couple different ways. And so he's just kind of involved with us in that
way. That's all we can say about that at this point.
Tim, or LaDonna, since you've been involved in all three of the shows that Parkland has done, what have you found to be the progress of the writing of the shows, if there is any progress? I mean, do they improve with From show to show, do they stay very
similar? The focus shifts from character to character in the show, I think, not necessarily in any correspondence that you can observe, but for my money, this one is the funniest of them. I think there's more choral, more group singing and more dancing in the other two that we did. There's more solos, there's a trio. There are maybe three songs where everybody's actually in the cast, comes out and sings at the same time. So he has varied it up, but the one thing he has done is stick really close to the formula.
Right.
I mean, Mr. Goggins found a successful way to write a show about nuns, and I would be willing to bet that all of them probably stick pretty close to this, you know, set of... It's almost like watching a vaudeville act. You know, if you were to go to an old-time vaudeville show, you'll see the jugglers at this spot, the singers here, and the this and that. So he's taken those component parts and compositionally put them together in very much the same way in each show, although the songs are always different and the routines are always different.
But there's still a lot of heart. So there's something about the Nonsense series where, you know, you have all this silliness and you can kind of maybe make fun a little bit of that lighthearted, you know, Catholicism part of the ritual, right? But then at the heart of it is that innocence and that joy and love of faith. And so there's always a couple songs just about faith and about that connection that I think everybody connects to, even if you're not Catholic. You know, I think that's in there as well.
It doesn't shy away from, you know, treating Catholicism as a religion. On the other hand, the songs that are like that, as LaDonna was talking about, the ones that are about faith, generally tend to be written in such a way that it's a much broader sort of faith in humanity and love and kindness, mm-hmm. as opposed to any particular religious belief in a particular version of Christianity or Judaism or any other religion. So while the context is Catholic nuns, the message is really pretty generally for non-denominational purposes.
And being good to people.
These
women, you know, in the convent have given up their life to give service to other people.
And I think that part is in there as well. I agree. That's, you're absolutely right. And that is even, you know, we joke, those of us especially who were raised by nuns or taught by nuns for most of our lives, joke about it constantly, and the rulers and the standing kneeling in the corner with your hands outstretched and whatever, you know, the punishments were. But the reality is that these women, in fact, really are about being kind to people. That's what they have done with their lives. Mm-hmm. It's all about giving to other folks.
Well, I guess you gave a little bit of the answer to this question in those examples just now with the rulers and whatnot. But what else is there about Catholicism that seems to lend itself so well to funny shows or jokes or being made fun of?
I think it's a select segment of the society about which many people who aren't part of that group have all kinds of ideas about what might and might not happen. That's kind of it. It's like looking behind the drape, you know, at a magic show or standing behind the magician or something. It's the same thing, I think, with any group. You could do the same thing with the Jewish faith or, I'm sure, the Muslim faith. If you could find a way to do that was not offensive, it would have the same impact, and I think the same thing could be attempted, you know.
And you usually don't see nuns dancing around in funny costumes.
Yeah, you're looking
and singing
at their life, you know,
crazy
songs.
And so it's really cool to see that as well.
Well, there was that show, I don't know how many years ago, The Flying Nun.
Mm. Yeah.
Which was the first time I remember seeing
Sally Field.
Sally Field as Sister, and I never knew how to spell her name, Bertrill or something
Bertrill,
like that.
Yeah.
Bertrill. And I've always wondered, are there any nuns that have those wing-like
real close
hats?
Mm-hmm. Real close, yeah. If you go online, you can probably see all kinds of photos now. But every order had its own version of the habit, and the headgear was usually the thing that was the most remarkably different.
I mean, modern nuns, there aren't very many orders now that have the full habit, mm-hmm. which is why Oprah was so fascinating, because these women were in full habit and it's an 8-year process to become a real nun.
What is that
process?
It's
like you're engaged, basically. You start off as a novice, and then for 3 years, and then for 5 additional years, you do all the service, and then you finally get to marry Christ in that ceremony, at least in the order that they were showing on that show. So it was a very long process of giving, and it talked a lot with their families, you know, about today's world. You know, you think your daughter's going to grow up and get married and have children, and these, you know, girls gave up all of that. So it was really, I think, fascinating to, and I think it is fascinating to all of us, that these women would give up that life. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing would be said for priesthood. You know, why would somebody give up all of the things that we value so much in America? You know, personal possessions and, you know, the right to marriage and remarriage and remarriage, right? We have all these rights in America that these people give up. And I think it's fascinating that somebody can have that much willpower and that much self-sacrifice.
And it's a long-standing way of living and a philosophical approach to life that goes. I mean, look at Gandhi after being married and having a family, renouncing all of that and becoming celibate and dedicating his life toward his particular goals and purposes. So it is, and it's oddly enough, I guess it all seems to stem ultimately from that sort of Eastern mysticism. You know, this approach to leaving the world. And it's what you might gain from the world and working for some, at least theoretically, some higher purpose.
The various characters that run through this show, they're pretty consistent from show to show,
yes.
Right? It's all the same characters. They each have their elements of interest, I assume, and I seem to recall. Why don't you run them down? I mean, obviously, we've heard a little bit about Sister Amnesia. The Reverend Mother, what is your story?
Well, my parents were with the circus, so I grew up in a circus. And so, and I refer to that pretty much in every show and in this show, actually, quite directly. And so getting to the order, that's probably why our order does these shows, is what I'm assuming, as they, in my character analysis. I think that the idea that there's always a sense of wanting to express and to give of talent. And so what the Reverend Mother does is collect a whole bunch of people who have different talents and show these talents to other people. So,
which is a great intro to her number, actually. We must be doing this very often.
Well, I thought it was purely accidental because I guess I'll have to ask about the other sisters after this number.
Yes.
So this is LaDonna Wilson as the Reverend Mother. And does this have a little prequel to the song?
It doesn't quite go perfectly, but I'll give you some of it anyway.
Okay.
Well, as you know, the Reverend Mother has a little bit of an Irish accent, so it might take me just a second to catch on here. Well, my mom and dad were with the circus, you know, and they were doing their act in Key Largo, and there was this big storm. I mean, a Lollapalooza. The tents had collapsed on one side, and we were stuck in the trailers, and it was Christmas. Well, at the same time that the circus was in town, Sophie Tucker was in town. She was supposed to be doing her club act, but of course there weren't any customers. That storm was a-raging like it had been directed by Cecil B. DeMille. Well, the hotel people invited us all over for Christmas dinner. Well, when Sophie Tucker started telling stories, I thought my mom was gonna die. I remember this one story. Soph says, "You know, I was gonna go to church with you, but the last time I went, the priest said, 'Soph, you can't come in here in that low-cut dress.' And the priest, and she said back, 'But Father, I have a divine right.' And the priest said, 'You have a pretty good looking left too, but you still can't come in here in that low-cut dress.' You know, I don't think we ever laughed as much as we did that Christmas. It was an old-time carnival Christmas with animal acts and clowns, a three-ring celebration. All smiles, no frowns. It was an old-time carnival Christmas, filled with laughter and mirth. An old-time carnival Christmas, the greatest show on earth. Well, later, they invited us all over for dinner, and they brought us into this fancy-schmancy dining room. I'd never seen so much food. They must have known that my mom and dad weren't called 2 tons on a tightrope for nothing. And Sophie Tucker was no will-o'-the-wisp. Anyway, after dinner, we had entertainments the like of which you'd never seen before. Come to think of it, it may have been the first dinner theater presentation. P.T. Barnum had nothing on us when it came to the Christmas show. Mary was played by a snake-charming princess, and the bearded lady was Joseph. The angels were members of the aerial team, flying high on the flying trapeze. There weren't any children under age 10, so the circus midget was Jesus. The elephants
hands were hooked up like two yoke of oxen. The shepherd was a chimpanzee. There wasn't any need to go out and buy a donkey. My uncle was a jackass for free. It was an old-time carnival Christmas with animal acts and clowns. A three-ring celebration, all smiles, no frowns. It was an old-time carnival Christmas filled with laughter and mirth. An old-time carnival Christmas, the greatest show on earth. When I think back on those carnival days, honey, we were a crazy lot. No black tie affairs or putting on airs, just simple folks happier than not. But nowadays that seems so long ago. Christmas is high tech today. There's a virtual stable with a savior on a disc. I don't know what to say, except I miss that old time carnival Christmas with animal acts and clowns. A three-ring celebration, all smiles, no frowns. I miss that old-time carnival Christmas filled with laughter and mirth. An old-time carnival Christmas, an old-time carnival Christmas, an old-time carnival Christmas, the greatest show.
Oh, you're very welcome for the applause. I'm sorry, I didn't actually do the applause. Yes, of course. Donna Wilson as the Reverend Mother in Nuncrackers, the Nonsense Christmas Musical at Parkland College Theater, which opens tonight and runs through the 12th. Tim Shermer is the music director and was at the keyboard. And Cecily Ray as Sister Amnesia, turning the pages for that last
thank
song.
Thank
you. Yeah, very well done. So how about these other sisters? Sister Hubert, you referred to LaDonna earlier. Mm-hmm. You played her the first time, and then you said you got a real Hubert for the next show. Yeah. I don't know what you meant by that.
It's such a gospel singing part. I mean, it's really meant to be played by an African-American with a real soulful voice. And while I have a nice low voice, I don't have that soul in me that way. And so Sharika Ellison, who's been playing it for us, is just
amazing.
Fantastic. So it's so nice. In fact, both in Nuncracker or Nonsense 2 and in the Nuncrackers, we give this little homage where I get to kind of do a little riffing and then she blows me out of the water. So it kind of just shows where I'm at. So, but we actually don't know how Hubert got into the convent series. That's something that hasn't been explained yet in any of the ones I've read.
She's just always been the second in charge.
She's just always been. And so we don't know. We kind of made our own backstory. One of the things we've done, I mean, that's what JW does so well, is we really talked about what our connections with each other were. Mm-hmm. And all of us seems to have had some kind of hardship in our life. Growing up with the circus, and Robert Ann, which, you know, is one of the other main characters, grows up in Brooklyn and has, you know, her father has left the family. They're poor for a short while. We know that the church is one place she could go to and feel safe all the time. So she gets a lot of the really beautiful ballads because she has this heart-wrenching story that is connected as a through line through all the shows. So we have yet to unveil Hubert's background, but I'm sure we'll find out eventually.
And you refer to J.W. as J.W. Morissette, who is directing the show, who I have yet to meet. One of these days, I actually need to meet J.W. Morissette. I know his wife a bit, and I remember her from the first Nonsense
musical.
Right,
she played Amnesia.
I still remember her role specifically. I mean, I just thought she was absolutely hilarious in that role. I still remember the huge eyes.
Yeah, she had those big eyes and that little,
And wearing the wimple, I guess, that sort of surrounds your face, exaggerates whatever facial characteristics you've got. So, for example, Cecily, I never saw you be out until now outside of the nun's habit. Mm-hmm. So to realize you had hair was quite a revelation.
I hear that all the time. Like, I'll be in the grocery store and somebody will stop me. You have blonde hair. it's always so surprising to them.
Now, see, you I've seen before. Right. I mean, I saw you first before the show. So I knew you had hair, for example. And then there's Sister Leo. Does she have a backstory?
She's the dancer.
She wanted to be
The first nun ballerina.
And who plays her in this production?
That would be Ariella Cohen. Mm-hmm.
And she's new to that. She didn't do it last year.
She was in the show last year, I think, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a schoolgirl last year. Yeah.
Well, the person who played Leo last year, Kathy Kirchnoff.
Yes.
Her husband was working at the U of I and graduated, and they moved to Michigan. But actually, Leo doesn't have a very big part in this show, so it almost worked out in the sense that, you know, we were all trying to come back, and since she wasn't here, so Leo has an accident in the show.
Yes. You'll learn more.
Yes. Okay. All right.
You did talk about Robert Ann, however, and that's and that role's played by
Stevie Shine.
Yeah.
Who has the most amazing voice. So she's like this opera singer who has this big belting voice, and I know her, you know, her voice teacher probably hates that she does musical theater. She probably strains her voice all the time, but she's just got an amazing voice. And so it's so much talent on that stage. It's, you know, even the kids that are playing the school children are so good, and so it makes it so much fun.
And the kids have a lot more this year rather than compared to last year. And they even have their own songs, and it's really fun to watch them. It creates a whole world for you to see whenever you come see the show.
It's really interesting that JW in the first one even had created those roles to add as auxiliary roles, bringing in more people so we could get more students involved in the production. And then over the course of time, Goggins actually, they rewrote the opening show and called it now the Mega Musical or something like that.
Since the Mega Musical.
With that idea in mind. So he had actually recognized that it was to his advantage and everybody else's to increase the number of roles that were in the show.
And besides Father Virgil Manley Trott, there and any kids involved, are there other male characters or is it? Pretty much.
Are you referring to someone in particular?
We have a really ancient school child who's on the GED program for, I don't know, he's a 12th year senior.
Eighth year senior.
Yeah.
Played by David Dillman. And we also have our custodian,
Chucky.
Who's played by Brad Martins.
Mm-hmm. Chucky?
Yes.
Chucky. Remember the custodian from last year?
I don't, but I just am thinking of the Chucky movies. There's no
reference to that. Oh, and we didn't mention that Father Virgil is played by Lincoln Macula, is that how you say his last name?
Macula. Lincoln Macula, yeah. And Tim, you're going to have a little combo, I assume? You're not just
And I'm actually not going to be conducting this one. This will be conducted by Ed Schaller, who's a bass player and part-time faculty at Parkland College. He's been there for graduate of Parkland College, actually. He's finishing his DMA still in town in jazz bass, and he'll be, in fact, he runs the Wednesday night In Your Big Band.
Right.
Is going to be conducting for the first time, as opposed to conducting from the bass book. So it's always a difficult experience to turn all of the tempos and everything over to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But I always enjoy it once I get past the final dress, because it's always more fun for me. The older I get, the more fun it is for me to watch the stuff after having worked on it, then continue to perform.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, so what are you going to do?
I'm going to watch it.
Just sit out and
I'll watch it. I'll go have a beer. If I drank, I'd have a beer, I guess.
You could watch it and have a beer.
At home. Not at Parkland, probably.
Or if you stayed in the booth or something. Like kept it under the table.
We have two other guest appearances that happen at the very end, of course. What would a Christmas show be without Santa Claus?
Yes.
And then we have a special guest that we have every show, but
that we won't mention.
We won't mention.
I'm going to guess who it is.
Yeah, I think you probably know who it is.
Is the same actor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, we'll leave it at that. If you saw Nonsense 2, sometime in the past season,
last January,
January at the Parkland Theater, then you'll have some idea what this is all about. But you'll get the Christmas humor added to, beginning with the title. It's often typed wrong because people just read it the other way, but it is Nuncrackers.
Mm-hmm. We do have a ballet in the show.
Music. Oh, you
which,
do?
Which
oh,
is well, that, that, right. that unspoken word will actually is one of the featured parts of the show. So if you happen to enjoy that performance of that unspoken thing, you'll enjoy our take
or one
on
an alternative
it.
To the usual
yes
staid and boring you know or you find it to be staid and boring after so many years then
well, this one isn't
another
staid.
Reason goes
no
through.
Not boring at all
I imagine not highly irreverent they should call you the irreverent mother
yes
the irreverent mother
I think my character's very close to God
well you certainly do have the serious role.
Yes.
Or at least you pretend to be serious, Reverend Mother.
Trying to keep everything under wraps. It seems like as things fall apart, she's the one person trying to hold the last thread together so that it...
But she can't help herself. She does. She constantly cracks wise throughout the whole show. So it's sort of like it's not even her nature really to do that. But
well, the circus background will out.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we appreciate your coming in very much. It's LaDonna Wilson as the Reverend Mother and Cecily Ray as Sister Amnesia. Are you a student at Parkland,
yes,
Cecily?
Yes, my sophomore year.
And LaDonna, you teach drama and...
English and at newspaper and public speaking.
At Central High School. So you have to get back to your classes, I'm sure. And then Tim Shermer is head of music department. I forget.
This is my last semester as program director for music at Parkland.
And then what?
Then I'm just going to be a prof and teach classes and finish all of those projects that I haven't finished, like some parts of Christmas Carol, and we actually have a recording that we'll be, I hope, releasing with members of the Parkland Wind Ensemble performing a version of Child's Christmas in Wales that I started working on 5 years ago. For we were fortunate enough at that time to get the North American rights to the property, so we have a narration with musical accompaniment, those kinds of projects that I've been postponing for too long.
Well, now I'll look forward to seeing that.
Good. I hope I'll be able to show it to you soon.
Well, I hope so, yeah. That is not one of those projects you hope to do that, you know,
yeah,
all
someday.
The things you'll do in pre-retirement that
that's right.
Hopefully will actually get done. The show starts tonight at Parkland Theater in Champaign. There are shows on the 3rd, 4th, 9th, 10th, and 11th at 7:30, and shows on the 11th and 12th, which I assume is Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. For more information, you can go to theater.parkland.edu. And to find all their shows that are going on for this season, but in particular, Nuncrackers, the Nonsense Christmas Musical. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show today is made possible with support from the Courier Cafe, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, whether it's almond French toast for breakfast, garden fresh salads and homemade soups for lunch, or burgers and hand-dipped shakes for dinner. The Courier Cafe in downtown Urbana has been offering fresh choices for 30 years. And we have support, as it happens, from the Champaign-Urbana Ballet, presenting a holiday tradition, The Nutcracker, with Sinfonietta Camera at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, December 3rd through the 5th. More information is available at krannertcenter.com or 333-6280. Music by Manuel de Fayev, performed by the Los Romeros here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And we'll hear a bit more from the original Nonsense in a few minutes. Want to give you the calendar for our area. And as you might expect, as we get closer to Christmas, there's an increasing number of events going on. And of course, as we get closer to the end of all the academic semesters on college campuses, everybody's getting in their final performances for this semester. So here we go. The Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra Holiday Concert with the Central Illinois Children's Chorus is tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. University of Illinois Jazz Band 4 plays at the Krannert Center at the same time, 7:30 tonight. Alto saxophonist Perry Rask is giving a faculty instrumental recital at Millikan University's Kuiper Hall in Decatur tonight at 6 o'clock. The Parkland Jazz Combo and Early Jazz Ensemble are both at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight from 5 to 7. Solo piano by Jacob Adams at the Iron Post afterwards. That's at 8 o'clock. It's a festive celebration in song tomorrow at noon with the St. Thomas More High School Madrigals. It's the free music series at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute on the main Carl Clinic campus in Urbana. That's at noon tomorrow. And then they will be giving their Madrigal Feast at the high school in Champaign starting 7 o'clock on Friday. And I'm not sure if that's just a one-time. No, they're doing also on Saturday at 7 o'clock. The jazz combos from Eastern Illinois University are performing at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center tomorrow night at 7:30 in Charleston. Station Theater's production of John Cariani's Almost Maine is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and continues for a couple of weeks, and we'll be having some members of that cast on the show on Friday. University of Illinois Wind Symphony performs tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Millikan University's Trumpet Ensemble and Saxophone Quartet perform in Decatur at Kuiper Hall tomorrow night at 7:30. The jazz combo Weasel Dreams are at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And the Tatsuya Nakatani, who's a percussionist, will be at the Independent Media Center tomorrow night at 7:30. That is in Urbana. Charleston Alley Theater presents A Christmas Carol starting Friday at 7:30. That runs through Monday. Rantoul Theater Group presents A Christmas Story in Rantoul at 7:30. And it's Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some, put on by Red Mask Theater in Danville. That starts at 8 o'clock on Friday and runs through Sunday, and we'll be having some folks from that production on tomorrow's Live and Local here on FM 90.9. There's lots of other things going on, and we'll mention some of those on tomorrow's show and on Fridays. Our forecast calls for a partly sunny afternoon, high temperature only around 32. We're holding at 27, however, west winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low temperature around 19. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries and a high around 35. The outlook for Friday is for a mostly sunny day with a high temperature around 32 degrees. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays, from noon to 4 in the Bouvance Tasting Room. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. We appreciate your joining us on the show. And if you know of organizations that we should know about, or events that we should know about, or folks that we should perhaps have on the show, please write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu.
Many people think that in a convent, a reverend mother's something like a queen. Nothing could be further from the truth here. Shall we show them what I mean?
Whatever you say, Your Highness.
Hit it.